Blog Talk Radio.
Harab Tov. Good evening. We're here. Second day of the Shabuah here. Second day of the week here. First day of the working week. The evening service here for the Monday. Shalom, Haberim. Greetings.
The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give I a victory again and again. Jehovah.
Now the truth has overcome the lies. The good news of his majesty in his Christ. And it is vital that we raise our tribal flag, the flag of the conquering lion of the tribe of Yehuda, and reinstill the virtues that we, the lost sheep, had lost. Listen and learn for the very first time in our story the real significance of the colors green, yellow, and red, and the imperial insignia of Yehuda Moah Anbesa, and how the blameless Ethiopians in the east and those enslaved in the west were persecuted, downpressed, degraded, and left in a virtual state of hopelessness and despair, and how after that they were lifted up by the great Negusa Neges, the great king of kings, Edamawi, Haile Selassie, of our story.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Anochi Adonai Elohecha, lo yiyeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai. Lo tisa et shem Adonai Elohecha lashav. זכור את יום השבת לקדשו, כבד את אביך ואת אמך, לא תרצח, לא תנאף, לא תגנוב, לא תענה ורעך עד שקר, לא תחמוד בית רעך.
So here, the ten words. Well, here's Majesty Gurmawi Negus Neges. So you're going to believe the Rastafari? The Rastafari of the Rastafari, Kedemah HaSelassie, or some who may be vainly worshiping him, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, but he is the commandment of the King of Kings.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
You heard that? Shema Yisrael.
You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments.
Elaborate on.
6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh day take thy rest. Thou shalt love no other God except the Lord thy God. Understand that, right? You know that.
Come and blow your horn, I tell ya. Be like
Should we put it on? Should we put it on? Yes, let's put it on. Here we're at the 45th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong here. Wa'etachanan. Moshe is giving his farewell address to a new generation of the Israelites, warning them, instructing them, you know, giving them, you could say, the history of their forefathers. Why are they at an advantageous position right now to enter in and conquer the promised land while their fathers were not, their fathers wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So here to this Torah reading and feeding as it connects here, the second reading in the second book of Moses. Yes, Rastafari. First things first right here, the evening service, and usually this is what it said according to royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews and His Majesty's order. What is said here, we are on the Monday, from Monday to Friday, which will be like the second day of the Shabuah to the sixth day. This is what is said. Sima, from the Kedah.
And then, yeah. Kasenyo iska'arb baluta k'enoch zawater yemibal. Said on the days from Monday to Friday. Salam lanchi hun inatachin kavrit beta Christian gida gdaochish lepazion in kwe eta getunacho. Salam lanchi hun inatachin kavrit beta Christian. Peace be to you, our mother. O honorable church, thy walls are embroidered with topaz. Peace, salam, shalom be to thee, our mother, O honorable church.
Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia, 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 Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah, Selah, Selah.
Aswad, Aswad, there's that classic chasing for the breeze. Remind me of the scripture that's all about, you know, chasing after the wind. I think it's what the Ecclesiastes, but that's Aswad right there, chasing for the breeze. Ever have any days like these? Interesting right here, we have the previous generation, you know, wandered, you know, they were chasing for the breeze, so to speak. But here, 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 to the evening psalm right here on the end and the ivory right here for the second day of the Shavuot, as chanted in the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim right here. in the new temple of Moshiach, chant the Psalm 48 here for the second day of the week.
Rastafari, Africa is a must. So no matter personal cost, you have to jump on this your bus. Zion born, right?
Psalm 48.
Mizmor Memchet, Shir Mizmor Livne Korah.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever.
Mizmor Memchet, Shir Mizmor Livne Korah. Gadol Adonai Umehullal Meod, Be'ir Elohenu Har Kodesho. Yefe Nof Mesos Kol Haaretz, Har Tzion Yarkete Tzafon, Kiryat Melech Rav. Elohim Be'ar Menoteha Noda Lemisgav. Ki Hine HaMelachim Noadu, Averu Yahdav. Hemma ra'u ken tamahu, nivhalu nechepazu. Re'ada ahazatam sham, chil kayyoleda. Beruach kadim, teshaber onigyot tarshish. Kaasher shamanu ken ra'inu, ve'ir Adonai tsebaot ve'ir Elohenu. Elohim yechoneneha ad olam sela. Dimminu Elohim hasdecha bekerev hechalecha. Keshimcha Elohim ken tehillatecha al katve eretz, tzedek malea yeminecha. Yismach harzion tagelna benot Yehuda lema'an mishpatecha. Sobbu tzion vehakifuha, sifru migdaleha. שיטו לבכם לחלה, פסגו ארמנותיה, למען תספרו לדור אחרון, כי זה אלוהים אלוהינו עולם ועד, הוא ינהגנו על מות.
Theme right here, Chavarim. We're at the 45th sabbatical study, so let's just review right here. Devarim, what is Devarim? That's the book of Deuteronomy. What does Devarim means? It has a few interesting the Hebrew meanings, just so we can understand the Hebrew meanings and the context, and what is the connection with HaTorah, with the law, generally speaking, but more specifically with the Ten. Talking about the 10 words, a.k.a. speaking about the 10 commandments, a.k.a. the teaching, the true teaching of the Rastafari Kedemawi Haile Selassie.
Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
በዚህ ቀን እኛ ግዛት ውስጥ ያለው ሁሉ ነው የምንናገረው።
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
And that word sound right there, advice on the Ten Commandments, that is things from the Lutheran interview. We need to study it. He begins off saying to mature, right? To mature Christian, to mature, we can say believers, or to mature Christians. I mean, the immature might not get it, right? But to mature ones. He spoke about the ten words, or what's called the Ten Commandments. Now, from a Hebrew perspective, the ten words, called the Ten Commandments in translation, is the Esaret, Esaret, ten in the Hebrew, Esar, Aseret, Aseret, Esaret, Aser, 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 like even in the Amharic. But the Esaret, the Barim, are the ten words. So here we come to this book of Moshe that's called, from the Hebrew perspective, Debarim. Then we get the Deuteronomy thing, right? So Deuteronomon means a repetition of the law, yet that comes from actually what is contained in the Hebrew. So they got the Greek title that comes down to says Deuteronomy from actually going over the Hebrew. So we can see where the origination, the groundation. But here, for this 45th sabbatical study, for this Shabbat Shalom, I want to speak about Debarim, the words. Generally speaking, just words, but in the context of HaTorah, speaking about those words that contain the 10 words that is the commandment. Hebrew perspective, the 10 so-called commandments from the Hebrew perspective is one command. The 10 are the 10 words, the 10 words that form that one command. In fact, let's just touch on this here before we just share this audible. Right. It was something that James has said. I don't know if the ones remember or have read in the book of James, a.k.a. our Hebrew brother known as Yaakov, Jacob, Yaakov. And James in the Brit Chadasha, in the New Testament scripts, the New Testament scrolls, we have James speaking about if you break one, you break all. Do you recall that part where he said, if you break one, you break all? And if you really start to study, you'd be like, well, what's he talking about right here? If you break one, you break all. He is speaking about the 10. He is speaking about the 10 words right here. Here we go. Here we go. And the 10 commandments, let's point this out too. The 10 words, right, a.k.a. the 10 words or the 10 commandments, are also known as the royal law. The royal law. So here we pick up with the general epistle of James. Now, James, the English way of saying, but the Hebrew is Yaakov, Jacob. He was the first bishop, right, of the Yehudi, we could say, church or the congregation of Nazarenes, right, at Jerusalem, Jerusalem, before his martyrdom. Right, so the general epistle of Yaakov, a.k.a. the general epistle, a teaching letter, a teaching communication of Yaakov, a.k.a. James. Here, chapter 2. So James chapter 2, this section begins with a test of brotherly love. No, every brother say, I love, 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 love. Yeah, but the test, almost like putting it to a test, is like, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, this is 14, 24 karat gold. And you say, yeah, it looks like it, right? But then you go to a jeweler, right, and you get it tested, and you find out, oh, it's not 24, it's actually like 14 or something even less than that. So the test, therefore, it's good. Brotherly love is good, but here, see, for the test of brotherly love. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Getatin Jesus Christos, Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. Let's zoom in on that phrase right there, respect of person. I give thanks to the Chaverim and the fellow co-laborers, I and I, reasonments. Hopefully we can bring some of those reasonments on some topical themes here on the live stream, hopefully in a soon time to come. Because one particular brethren, we talk about the respect of persons and elsewhere found in the Bible that phrase. And as we were seeking to bring out from the scriptures, the respect of person is like that partiality to faces. It goes very much with the Tuesday evening psalm, or the psalm for the third day of the Shavua. That is Psalm 82, where the theme is unjust judges condemn. But then it has a very ye are gods, you know what I mean, thing, where a lot of people, they look at that from the English, but they forget that it's a Hebrew context. So they misinterpret out of context. But here, with respect of persons, it's like partiality to faces, right? So the person there is like to say faces. So when we look at the Nazarene, the development of the Nazarene and faith in HaMashiach, right, even in the true church and among the truer churches, right, amongst the professing churches, like even the Ethiopian Tewahedo Church, and they also have these doctrines and teachings, for example, concerning the Trinity. And it said that there's three persons in the Trinity. Haven't you heard that before? There's three people. Now, how do most people think of that? If I say that, well, the Trinity, he is three in one. So what do you mean, right? Well, there's three persons, right, in the one God. It's like, well, how can there be three persons? You mean like I'm a person, you're a person, and he's a person. So like all of us is like as one. Do you mean like that? Well, the Hebrew perspective is not like that, because the word that you get here as persons, right, when we compare it with the Hebrew from Old Testament to even the New Testament, Brit Chadasha areas, the phrase has like a partiality to faces, being partial, like favoritism. When we talk about being non-partial, right? We talk about theocratic government, moral theocracy, right? Impartiality or being non-partial. That means that if it's about right or wrong, and this is my good brethren, and I love this brother. We've been through a lot. He done a lot for me. I done a lot for him. But now I have to judge this situation. You know what I mean? And I look at the facts of the case. When I look at the facts of the case, he's wrong. I'm like, damn, brother, why you do this? You are wrong, 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 wrong. All right? Now, how do I go about that now in judging that? Do I think like, well, you know, well, he's my friend. I know him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He did this bad thing, but no, he's my friend. Now, the same case comes before me, and it's the next man who I don't really favor. In other words, I don't have a respect for his person. Let me put this in the Hebrew context right here. Here from the Hebrew of James, Yaakov, James, right, chapter 2. Achai, my brethren, Achai, Allah Yehi, Masol, Fanin, my brethren, have not the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach with respect for persons. But here it's kind of like turned about a little bit different. It's like my brothers, like don't have, you know, respect of persons. Like my soul, my sense of my soul, like a lifting up, like you lift up this man. Yeah, I know this man, let him in. Yeah, him big man. No, I mean, who that? I mean, I know, Guan from here, I mean, I know you. When your face don't, there's no facial recognition. And when I see your face, I don't recognize it or I disrecognize it. But this next man's face, I recognize. So from the Hebrew perspective, when we talk about the presence or person in that sense, we're speaking about face. So the verse from the Hebrew perspective of James chapter 2, Achai, Al Yehi, right, like not to have my soul, lifting up of Fanim. Here pointed as Fanim, sometimes as Panim. Panim is like faces. Faces. So the faces is where we get this idea of persons. As we look at Psalm 82, corrupt judges, right, or corrupt Elohim. if we put it like that, or the judges who have falsified the name of the Elohim, because we refer to the judges from the Hebrew perspective, the judges, the Shoftim, as the Elohim, because of what we have here, even in the HaTorah, and even especially here in this fifth book of Moshe. They are his agents. I mean, you hear that's used a lot, right? People say, oh, he's an agent. You know, the intelligent question I ask is of who? is he one of our agents? Or is somebody else's agent? The free agent or a flea agent? I mean, I don't know. What do you mean? You know, what is an agent? An agent is one who represents something, right? Like an agency. Right? You go to a travel agency because you want to travel, but you need the agency of the travel agency. Right, so the judges were known as the Elohim or the called the Shoftim and regarded collectively, not individually, each one of the judges was an individual Elohim. And that's when things became corrupted and we was following after other nations. But according to HaTorah, the instruction and direction, that's when the Shoftim, the judges who were so appointed, as Moses reasons on in the previous, you know, the first reading here from the fifth book, the fifth and final book. But here it says, Maso, Masa, come from Nasa, to lift up. Nasa, the lifting up, right? The lifting up of faces. So it says, my brethren, have not faith of our master. Be'emu natikem, be'yeshua ha-moshiach, Adonenu, Adon ha-kabod. My brethren, have not the faith of Adonenu, Ainai Adawan, Ainai Adon, Ainai Master, Ainai Sovereign, Yeshua, HaMoshiach, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord of Glory, the Adon HaKavod, Adon HaKavod, Adon HaKavod, with respect or partiality. Right, maso panim, with partiality to people. You know, you favor some people, right? They do the same wrong thing as those other people, but you just don't like those other people. You like these people's face. You don't like their face. But both of them do the same ratchet up thing. For example, one time Rastafari and some who said Naya Bingi, you know, that princess or queen or warrior from Uganda, Wakanda, you know, would say, Naya Bingi, death to black and white down presses. That means if it's though we are pro the downtrodden who, according to the prophecy, have happened to be the once lost, now found black and brown people. But if we find a downpresser who is black, what do? We say, you know what? That black person did some ratchetness. But, you know, it's a white man that made him do it. Oh, my gosh. I heard this thing some time ago, just to share with the eye, that many ones and ones, this is, take this as an allegory. Many ones will say on Judgment Day, they'll say, the devil made me do it. Satan made me do it. You know what I mean? The tempter tempted me, and I did it. But you know, they said the tempter will say, Satan, the devil, what have you. He will say, no. I suggested it. You did it. Check. Let's go to this right here. My brethren, have not the faith, right, of. Notice, it didn't say faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It says the faith of. Reading, comprehension is very important. So what we discern from meditating on this, it's not that we just have faith in Yeshua HaMoshiach, faith in Jesus Christ. It's for I and I to have that same faith as Yeshua HaMoshiach. So what faith is that? Well, what was Yeshua's faith? In his loving Father, loving Ab. You know what I'm saying? In a loving Father, and that Father and Son relationship. So that's the faith, that Father and Child relationship, right? The Lord of Glory with respect, but don't, you can't have that faith in him and then be partial to persons. Because look at it from the perspective of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach. He was a Yehudi. According to the scripture, New Testament scripture, he was a Jew, right? A Yehudi. But didn't he bun them out? He was bunting them out. He's talking about hypocrisy. You're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, you have the keys, you know, of the kingdom, but you're not entering. You're blocking. You're Torah blocking ones from getting that knowledge. He was calling them out. All right. He could have respect for person. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees and many of the haters of, we could say, the theological orthodoxy went so ham after Yeshua HaMashiach, because he did not have that respect of their faces, their person, because they were Yehudi too. They were Jew too. You know, like we say, well, this man here, Asta, so me can't say this, even though he is talking devil doctrine in the name of Salasiai. What? Excuse me. Oh, but he's my brethren. But he's what? With respect of persons. For if they come to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel. You know, people look at what you're wearing now. Man come, a gold ring, you got gold? He got to have some money, you know what I mean? Look what he got on. And there come in also a poor man. I mean, he's so poor that we can't even call him poor. He's poor. You know, I mean, so poor, he can't even buy a couple more letters. You know, he's a poor man, right? And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, you know. Now, you can look at vile raiment. The clothing could be filthy, you know, dirty, soiled, filthy. Or it could be vile in the sense like, what? He's wearing, that's some 99-cent clothing he wearing. Now, look at that. There's no name. There's no name brand on that. All right? What you going to do? Verse 3, and y'all have respect to him that wears the gay clothing. KJV, this is King James Version right here. James chapter 2, verse 3, and y'all have respect to him that wears the gay clothing. Sounds like what's going on nowadays. You know what I'm saying? The gay clothing, the happy clothing. Let's put it like that in the original sense. It had nothing to do with what they call it, gender, you know, gender orientation, sexual identity. It had nothing to do with sexual identity or gender orientation. You know, that's a PC way. But here the KJV says, and y'all have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, or the one that has the gold ring, the happy clothing, you know, the expensive clothing, so to speak. And you say to him, sit thou here in a good place. And you say to the pole, you better run out and get some other clothing, man. You like a bum. No, you say to the poor, stand thou here. Stand. No, you don't say here. No, don't shoot you. You're going to be throwing shade on me. Stand out there. Or you say, sit here under my footstool. What? You hear that? Not sit here by my footstool, but sit here under my foot. So you basically say to the poor man, you want the poor man to be your footstool. Right? But just think about this for a moment. Because even though many of us may not be very infected, some of us might be very infected with this sort of mind state that James is calling out right here in James chapter 2. Isn't it like what's going on nowadays, even from a more of a worldly, out-of-court perspective? Verse 4, are y'all not then partial in yourselves? In other words, are you now having partiality? This is what Psalm 82 is all about. But Psalm 82 is not speaking to like other gods and some so-called angels or some spook spirits. No, it's talking to the sons of Israel and the judges of Israel. You know, it's saying that, you know, when we had the opportunity, you know, to have justice and peace in our community, we was having problems with that even among ourselves. And it was no outsider fault, a white man or somebody else's fault. It was basically our fault. You see, this is really spiritual maturity. Are y'all not then partial in yourselves? And become judges. See why the connection to judges? Because there's a direct connection with even the judges of Yisrael, of Yasharala, and are become judges of evil thoughts. That means you're always there trying to condemn somebody. You're never trying to acquit somebody or defend the right of the poor and the fatherless or the afflicted and needy. You remember Psalm 82? Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not Elohim chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? You have to think about that. The poor, in some level, right, if they are poor and they're righteous and not cowards, think about this, what I'm about to say. They're going to have to be rich in faith. Think about it for a moment. Because in a sense, the poor, if they're righteous, why don't they just go just take? You know what I'm saying? No. But they're trusting God, right? They're trusting Elohim, right? Which is a good thing for the poor, righteous, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, heirs, right, of the
universal government that he has promised to them that love him. Now, here's also an interesting connection with this whole terminology of love, because one might think of this like in the worldly Christianity or counterfeit Christianity or white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christianity or popery or something else. You know, one might think about it in a sense of, oh, yeah, love, you know, love, 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 you know, kind of just as this ephemeral. They think of it very ephemerally. But from a Hebrew perspective, if you go back to Exodus chapter 20, let's go into Exodus chapter 20 just to highlight that, make a connection here. Because what one has, it's not the letter of the law, but the spirit of what's being said here. Otherwise, ones are going to still be misconstruing it. Here, when it talks about in the law, the 10 words, which is called the 10 commandments, from the Hebrew, we know it's one command with 10 words. Exodus chapter 20 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, nor enslave yourselves to them. For Yahweh Eloheka, he who be, we be, thy Elohim, El, Ana, is a zealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, the patriarch, upon the children, more specifically, Hebraically, the fathers, iniquity of the fathers, upon the sons, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You heard? That's Exodus 20 and 5. The next verse reads, KJV, low degree to high degree. Verse 6 says, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know, you hear some people out there, some of them, you know, they mean well, but they're going to go to hell, so to speak, right, if they don't get this well. They're like, oh, you know, God loves without conditions. Really? Is that in your head or is that in the Bible? Where did you get that from? God came and he talked to you about that? When? Do you have any, was it mountains or anybody witness? Is it written? Here's what's written right here. Showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Because in the verse before, it says, visiting the iniquity of the patriarchs upon the sons to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Why? Because they're going against his instruction. So the proof of the love, you know, one more verse right here. Because this is we spoke on this before, but people, you know, they act like, you know, this is not the truth of the matter. Because, you know, it's better to go on that God is like, you know, because the Bible and Jesus, it's like unconditional, and he loves you regardless or whatever. But that's not what the word really says. That's not what the word really says. Here we have John's Gospel, chapter 14. This one, zoom in right here to verse 22. It says Judas. No, not the Judas that you think, right? The Judas who's like many Christians. Not that Judas, the one who wanted to sell him out. No, this is Judas says to him, Yehuda. It's Judah. It's Judah here. It's Jude. You know, like the book in the Bible called Jude? That's him. In chapter 14 of St. John, verse 22, Judas or Yehuda saith to him, and then it says right after that, not Iscariot. So it's not Judas Iscariot. Some are probably already quick to fire burn. They heard Judas, fire burn. Well, you know, it says when you condemn somebody, you put a judgment on somebody else, you accuse somebody of something that you know well, you're lying on them. That means whatever punishment for that accusation, if they were a judge to be guilty based on your false witness, then whatever the judgment should fall back on you. Karma is a thing, ain't it? Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself to us, I, and not to the world? I and I, as called, chosen, and faithful Rastafari, we ask this question. Many of us have asked this question. How is it, right, that the Rastafari, Kedemar, Hala Selassie, manifests himself to I and I see these things, but not sometimes to our brother, our sibling, others around us, right? That's what the word says right here. Lord, how is it that thou will manifest yourself, thyself, to us, to I, and not to the world? So why would some, as they say, get it, and some don't get it? You know, it's like two shall be laying in the bed, so to speak. One shall be taken and one shall be left. You know, that way there, right? Verse 23, we get the answer. Yeshua, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loved me, because, you know, don't a lot of folks say they love Jesus,
Right? Okay. If they say Jesus, you know, that's the way they've been taught to say it. Or they could say Yeshua, Yahshua. You know, they could say it in the particular way that they say. But if we're talking about the same one right here, according to the word, right? He says, if a man love me. Wait. Once you put an if there, it's a condition. Didn't you know that? You know, I'm going to give you this. I'll give you everything I got. If, you see what I'm saying? That if there means you're going to have to meet that if to really enforce, right, the word, you know, or the contract of the word or the covenant that I'm saying right here. What's that? That's what the if is. So the if is a condition. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Mm. So Yeshua, what are you saying to us? Are you saying that if these people that say Jesus and then Jesus this and the people who say Lord and Yahshua, Yahweh, Yahawashai, whatever name they, you know, we can get into the linguistics of the language, right? But getting into the core of the faith, he says, if a man love me, so they're talking about this Jesus, Yeshua, Yahawashai, if you please, according to the word, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Interesting. So logic, this is a little logic here, a little Hebrew logic, right? So therefore, if a man does not love Yeshua, he don't give a fuck about Yeshua's, he's not going to keep Yeshua's words, right? Okay, that makes a lot of sense, right? It's logical. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the word. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and I be, and my father, my Ab, will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Wow, that's that oneness. See, this is the scriptural basis of Tawahido, what's called Tawahido. This is the biblical basis of Tawahido. All right, but then let's go on, because the balance, right? That's if a man love me, right? Let's go to verse 24. He that loveth me not. Now, that doesn't mean that he might say he loves the Lord. I love the Lord. The Lord on condition. He love, he forget anything. Really? Where you get that from? He that loveth me not. Oh, because these are those who don't. Oh, I got you, Yeshua. Got it. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Because did Yeshua say that, or did your pastor say that? Mine, or your Bingy Bobo 12 tribe leader say that, you know, we can't have respect of persons, right? He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word that y'all hear is not mine. Isn't this curious here, Yeshua, according to what we read in the Bible, just getting a basic reading comprehension about this, he's saying that, Yeshua is saying that the words that we hear, so the red letter areas of the Bible, that is said to be Jesus or Yeshua speaking, he's saying that the word that they hear is not his, but the Father's who sent him. That is very interesting, ain't that? These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. Let's pause right there, because the main part here, we're just talking about that thing called love. That thing called love, because it says right here about the rich in faith, right? Talking about, you know, the rich in faith are those poor of this world. And to put the context there, it's not talking about poor because they don't have no money. See, we Hebrews, we never thought about it just because you don't have no money. You see what I'm saying? That, you know, you mean you had no money? I mean, even poor people got a little bit of money. They don't have all the money that they would like or need. You get me? But the poor righteous of this world, rich in faith and ears of the kingdom that he promised to them that love him, that keepeth his word, his logos, his logic. Don't get caught up into the Babylon, the chaos. Verse 6, but y'all have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? As the Rasta elders say, pick sense out of nonsense. They're not pressing us up. They're not up pressing us. No, they're down press. So again, but y'all have despised the Pope. Do not rich men down press you? They want to press you down to the ground like they're outing a cig, right? Or fag. I'm talking about the cigarette from an English perspective, right? And draw you before the judgment seat. And do what? And draw you before the judgment seat. You know, it's like what we have nowadays in court. You know, all this court stuff. You know what I mean?
draw you before the judgment seat. In other words, always accusing, right, the poor, you know what I mean? Filing legal action against the poor to take the little bit that they still got. Verse 7 says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by that y'all are called? And let's apply this now to the called chosen faith of Rastafari. Isn't the name of Rastafari being blasphemed? But it's also being blasphemed because many of us is having respect to persons or mansions or so-called denominations. We say demon nominations. Maybe they did some good works in the past. But if the doctrine is off, then the doctrine is off. Right? Remember, Yeshua said the words speak is not his, but the Father's words. So we apply it to that the Father, Yeshua HaMoshiach, the Father sent Yeshua, right, before he himself bore witness, and we see the Father and Son relation in and through Ketamari Haile Selassie, then that means that some of these Rasta guys out there, this is a warning. This is a warning, It's always a good time to repent. Do not they blaspheme, right, that worthy name? Because when we're allowing things to go out in Rastafari name, right, that's just some makeup stuff, some whack job, I don't know, some herb, some bad herb you smoke, I don't know what, or do you really have a demon, you have a devil or something like that? Are you an agent? Is this COINTELPRO, an agent provocateur? You understand? But then COINTELPRO makes a lot of sense, counterintelligence. But that causes I, the called chosen and faithful Rastafari, to be blasphemed, to be evil, bad spoken of. And even that worthy name, Rastafari, to be evil spoken of when you hear some of the duck trains. So when Yeshua said, in vain do they worship me. Therefore, if we see Jesus Christ, right, as the Son representing that revelation, right, of the person of the Father, right, the Spirit, right, in the man, Ketamari Haile Selassie, then it will make sense for even the Rastafari Ketamari Haile Selassie to say the same thing to enough ones who say they Rasta, that in vain do you worship me. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Some man told you this. You read and heard my speech translated by my official imperial ministry, right? But instead, you're going to believe some guy, that call himself a leader of this or that or whatever. This is a warning, right? Warning, warning, warning. Verse 8, here's where we put the rubber to the road. The rubber to the road or the wheel, the pedal to the metal. Here's what we're going to bring forward, the verse 8. If y'all fulfill, majesty, majesty, majesty. You heard that word of Ketamari Haile Selassie? This might be one of the words that all the fake rosters don't like. All the fake rosters don't like this word right here. What word right here? All the fake rosters don't like this word.
My advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Wheel it. How do you say? Wheel it. All right. Well, here, verse 8. If y'all fulfill, say, my advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Now, how do we know that the royal law, the king's law here in James chapter 2, verse 8, see, in the true way, what Haile Selassie testified, what the true evidence testified, what the real called chosen people Rastafari testify, what we find when we study to show ourselves approved, it all lines up. That other kooky stuff is some stuff that people make up, some makeup stuff. If y'all some fake Jake stuff, if y'all fulfill the royal law, the king's law according to the scripture, if y'all fulfill the king's law, he didn't say keep. He didn't say listen to, talk about it. No, he said if you'll fulfill. So the point of us reasoning, growing in grace is to fulfill the what? The royal law. The royal law is the king's law. And like I said, this, some guys will tell you about 42 negative confessions. I don't know whether it's Ma'at or Nebseni. they'll tell you about that. And I don't mind that. And Egypt is part of our black people heritage. But not before the teaching of His Majesty. You must be crazy.
My advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments. So here, James chapter 2, verse 8, if y'all fulfill the royal law, which is the king's law, according to the scripture, according to what is written. So some man is trying to say, even some crackhead dude, you know, he might be an elder to some, but he just lost his elder. We pull his elder card. He said, oh, his majesty, the atheist, and the Bible ain't worth the, you know, the papers written on. What the hell are you talking about, dude? Who are you? You know, you have Haile Selassie's name. Haile Selassie don't have your name. You know what I mean? If you don't have his teaching, then you are identity thief. If you all fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love, get it? Thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. All right, but how can I have this neighbor next to me? He's stealing. He's stealing from my father. He's running around talking about he Rasta. You represent Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. And he's putting out some rubbish for doctrine. They're putting out rubbish, garbage. And then we're supposed to sit down and just like, what are we waiting on the Lord now or something like that? We're just supposed to say, yo, that's garbage. Where you get that from? We just supposed to like just allow that. Allow that? Allow nothing. Because then these guys going to be big bad. Then bad boy, right? Okay, get this. But then when some badness happens, they'll talk about people who believe in the Bible or Yeshua or the King of Kings Christ. When we wait on the Lord. Are you waiting on the Lord? Nigga, you waiting for justice and peace, aren't you? You're waiting to see what happens in that latest racially charged trial. Whether you're going to get some justice and peace. Whether the white man going to give you something. So which one is worse? Right? I think it's worse to be waiting. You're waiting, right? You're waiting on men and people and their law, right? And Jah is waiting for you to get to know and love his law and do his way if you all fulfill. But because they don't fulfill the royal law, the royal Torah according to the scripture, how can they really love their neighbor as themselves? But then look at this word here. We was reading on this a little bit earlier. Because we'll read that and say, yes, the Bible say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know why we treating them treating each other so bad. You know, they believe in God and the Bible. You're supposed to love one another as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But get this. Let's read this once again. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, right? It said love your neighbor, right? You can say love your brother, but here it's written, love your neighbor, right, as yourself. My question is this. Suppose you don't love yourself. Suppose you don't love yourself. Or suppose you love yourself, a little bit, right? Or you love yourself in a bad way. And you say you're going to fulfill this word and say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But you really don't love yourself because you don't know yourself. See, so even the context of loving your neighbor as yourself, sometimes those of us who think we're getting less love, right, like David even said, Dawid said, you know, for my love, you know, they give me hatred. You know, they give me rah-rah, rah-rah. They give me evil, bad, you know, for my love, right, in place of my love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all do well. But if he don't know himself, you see, if he don't know himself, right, how can he love himself? Because if he knew himself, he'd know his relation with the Almighty. Right, and on one's relationship with the Almighty, right, he will be able to love his neighbor as himself, even love his do unto others as you would have them. Remember, Robeno, Yeshua said that in the Brit Chadasha, do unto others as you know, do unto other brothers. Because sometimes ones and ones don't have much love for themselves because they might have been victims and victimized. So that's what Robeno, Einai Rabbi, Yeshua HaMoshiach, he said, you know, do unto, you know, others as you would have them. Like you recognize people haven't really done this good and solid for you. You see this next person needs that good and solid, and you remember being in a situation, or you could see yourself in a situation like that. And you know, if you was in a situation like that, what you would want somebody to do if they could. And you recognize, you know what, the power's in my hand, I can't do this. In that sense. But let's go on. Verse 9. But if, there's that word again, if y'all have respect to persons, oh man, that means if you have regard to faces, if you have regard, so the idea of persons
in truth, yeah, the face does regard, you could say, the rest of the body, because the face is the aspect of the body. But in the Hebrew Trinity sense, we're speaking about like the face, you know, the face, the person of the Father is the perception. When you perceive something, is the POV. You ever heard that expression, POV? Like the point of view, you know? Like if you can see this, I don't get this. Well, look at it from my point of view. And then they give it from their point of view, and you try to see it from their point. And you're like, oh, I can see it from your point of view. But now in this context right here, if you have respect to persons, well, you respect this man here because this man say he's a bad boy. And this man, you have no respect because you don't think he's a bad boy, right? So the bad boy did the crime, but you don't want to judge the bad boy, but you tax the victim, right, who is the poor boy. You see what I'm saying? You have respect of persons because what it is that you're scared. Like some people say, oh, the Bible's a pacifist book. Really? Or is your punk ass just a coward? See, because there's aspects of the scripture that has no passivity, you know what I mean, absolutely to it, and they are measures of faith. But if y'all have respect to persons, to faces, y'all commit sin, y'all commit fuckery. Yes, this may be strong language, but it agrees with the groundation. Hatiyat means lack. Let's put it like this. Let's say it like this. If you have respect to people's faces, y'all commit lack. You're going to be caught lacking. If you have respect partiality, if you're partial to certain people because of faces, you're going to be caught lacking. And you're going to be convicted of HaTorah as transgressors. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, the whole law, the whole Torah, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Mm. Now, some would say, oh, that means that everything that's written in the five books of Moses, for real? See, that's when people kind of, they want to learn, but they don't have the discipline. Hopefully they can gain the discipline of mind to study. In the context, James is going to break it down right after in the next verse. But some would assume that the whole law meant, you know, everything in the full Torah. But no, the whole law here, he's going to tell you when he's speaking about Torah, he's speaking about the first Torah is the 10 words, the 10, what's called the 10 commandments. Proof, verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also do not kill, or in the true context, do not murder. Yeah, killing depends on the circumstance and situation, right? But murder, having malice aforethought, having harboring hatred against somebody, scheming and all of that punk-ass shit, you know, that murder, because of cowardice, that murder kind of thing, you know what I mean? But do not murder, right? Now, if thou commit no adultery, you know, fair fight would be better, right? Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou murder, now your Bible says kill. Need we go to that there is a word for killing and there's a word for murder. And in HaTorah, it says murder. And if you don't know, you see, this thing about even black folks, lost sheeple, you know, when these charges go up and say, oh, why they call it manslaughter? Why was it first degree? Why was it second degree? You know? And then their pastor tells them they're free from the law. But then the police can still pick them up and put them before the law. This just don't make no sense, right? Does it? For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. Now, if thou commit no adulteration, yet if thou murder, thou art become a transgressor of HaTorah. Note this. What did James quote right here? James quoted Exodus chapter 20. From a Hebrew perspective, James quoted the 10 words, a.k.a. the 10 commandments. So speak y'all, and so do. In other words, ain't nothing wrong with speaking it, but make sure we do it. So speak y'all, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law, the Torah of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So just to point out this section right here, the royal law that James is talking about in James chapter 2 is the king's law. And what is the king's law for the called, chosen, and faithful Rastafari? Well, here, in the Lutheran interview, His Majesty reveals the truth. Revelation.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and elaborate on hand. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian,
Not only historically, like people like to talk about like their ancestors. You know who my great grandpappy was, what he done did? But you lazy, you ain't doing nothing. You know, so not just historically, right, Christian, but actively. You know, his message to fulfill. Here, we have Otis Wiliki. Love this tune right here. Hope that I will find lovability in it as well. Otis Wiliki, Ten Commandments. Here.
Thank you. Ethiopia. They want to free me guilty of what I don't know. We don't want no Babylon law or his money. As we know, it's a ten commandment.
Says to I and I and we, the call and chosen faithful Rastafari, for my part I glory in the Bible. How interesting that in the book of James, it speaks about the royal law, right? The royal law. And that translation of turn of the phrase comes from the Hebrew and also revealed in Matthew's Bible as the king's law. The king's law. And what the king says is that's vice to all. He was asked about young people. And so here, we on the edge, the wilderness, a new generation, you know, after those who were brought out of Egypt, because, you know, it's like Stockholm Syndrome. You know what I mean? You could take one out of a captive situation, but they could be suffering a lot of, you know, mental, psychological instabilities, because they still are identifying, you know, like the old heads, their fathers. You know, their fathers was not found worthy to enter into land. They murmured, grumbled, complained. They pretended to be a bunch of bad men. I mean, they were bad men. Don't get me wrong. They were bad men. But they were only bad to themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, even today, there's a bad man, warrior, man, I shot your boy, man, kill you, man, do this. And then when some Babylon shite comes down, then these guys are running around with signs and shit. Like, what the, you know what I mean? Anyway, and they want to blame it on the Bible. No, it's not the Bible's fault. It's something in your spirit that's at fault. But here, brothers and sisters and brothers, here riding up with this. Let's get into a little more of the detail here on the 10 words from the Hebrew.
Anochi Adonai Elohecha, lo yiyelecha Elohim acherim al panai, lo tisa et shem Adonai Elohecha lashav, zachor yet yom ha-shabbat lekaddesho. כבד את אביך ואת אמך, לא תרצח, לא תנאף, לא תגנוב, לא תענה ורעך עד שקר, לא תחמוד בית רעך.
So here, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments mistranslated, right, in the KJV Bible. I'm not talking about the basic translation, but just the idea when it says Ten Commandments. We actually looked up almost in every place in the Bible. There's a few places, even the King James Bible, sometimes they put italicizations. They do this little slick stuff sometimes. But anyway, when you compare it both from the Hebrew, right, the Hebrew Old Testament, and even the New Testament areas, especially the Old Testament areas, the immediate thing you'll find out is from the Hebrew, it will have 10 words. Aseret, aseret, debarim, aser, aseret, debarim, and also aser to kalat in his Matthew Bible, the book of the seven seals. So this audible right here goes into a little reasonment on that. The 10 words, the 10 commandments, mistranslated in the KJV Bible. Mo better should have been
10 words. And more better, it should have been brought forward as the commandment. So there is the commandment. Today's daily psalm is Psalm 89. There's a particular verse that really brings it out in His Majesty's Bible. Was going through it, was able to get through about half of it in this season, because 52 or so verses is the last psalm in the third book of Moshe. Very, very important. Hopefully we'll be able to address it after this. But here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's get into a little bit more on how and in what way the 10 words or the what's called the 10 commandments were misinterpreted, right? Misinterpreted in the scripture.
390. We're only going to do a few more calls, get back to the music, and make room for Sounds of China.
Morning, WKTR.
Greetings.
Yes, sir.
In the name of the Most High, O Lord and Savior, the mightiest of them all, Jah.
Rastafari.
And I, yes. I want to say greetings to Vincent and greetings to DJ Vince. And greetings to my brethren Rambo. We're rough out every time. Yeah, and all of them greetings, Jah. I come from Rough Commandos.
Yes, I.
But I want to let out something from the Bible. Jah know, say, if I had not been with the Lord, who was on our side? No man, Israel say, if I had not been the Lord, who was on our side? When men rise up against us, then they had swallowed up us quick. When there was wrath was kicking up against us, then the water had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Jarastafari living and reigning at the heart of our life. Last year.
Yes, I.
Yeah.
Rastafari.
We give thanks.
So much love to all my friends. So much love to all my friends. When I say more, you say fire. More fire.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad.
In the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's known as Devarim in the ancient Hebrew, Devarim. Modern Hebrew, they would enunciate as Devarim. Now, what does Devarim mean? It means the words. The classic Rastafari roots, Rastafari tune by Prince Farai. Every time I hear the word, right? The words. These are the words. Eileh. Ha-Devarim. These are the words. This is how the fifth book of Moshe called Deuteronomy, which basically means the repetition of the law, the repetition of the words. Hebraically, we know this as the Mishneh HaTorah. Now, coming from the Greek, the Greek that the Black Yehudi, the Jews, spoke and speak in that particular time of the Messiah, Yeshua HaAdon, Adonenu, Yeshua HaMoshiach. That is the Greek that they spoke, the Koine Greek. Now, some would say, oh, woo, it's Greek, but then you speak English. We speak English. But we're seeking to communicate the ancient truths, right? So here, making reference to the Hebrew is Mishneh HaTorah. Mishneh HaTorah, what does that mean? It's a copy of HaTorah. What is Torah? Often, ones will say the Torah is law. Hebraically, from Yara, it means like to point, to direct, to point out, to aim in that sense. You're getting to like the Hebrew roots of it. So a better English interpretation or maybe even translation of Torah would be directions, instructions. We as the Rastafari Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, the Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews, representing the Israelites of that biblical country where it says Ein Kush, with Ethiopia, Ze Yulad Sham, that this man was born there, that prophecy that we have in Psalm 87, verse 4. Also, we have Psalm 68, 31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hands to God. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians, unto me, O children of Israel? So here, we are in the fifth and the final book of HaTorah. the final book of Jah, Yah, Yahowah, Jehovah's instructions, Hashem's instructions, directions, give us a teaching of his magic. We don't want no devil's philosophy. We don't need no Babylonian laws. It's the 10 words, the 10 words that are known as the 10 commandments. So what are the 10 words, and why are the 10 words often called pseudonymously, right, somewhat falsely named, but this is what is popular in the Western Gentile world. We get to know this as the 10 commandments, even though 10 commandments in that particular wording does not appear. It does not appear in the Masoretic, in the script. It does not appear in the biblical Hebrew. Neither does it appear in the biblical, the Ethiopic, the G'ez, or in the authorized, revised Amharic Bible, the book of the seven seals of Moah, Anbesses, Emnegeta, Yehuda, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, according to Revelation 5 and 5. This is why we emphasize that it is the 10 words. 10 words. Now, if you look up within even the interlinear Bibles, and perhaps we need to go there right here, because the question is, well, what are the 10 words? The 10 words, falsely called, pseudonymously called, the 10 commandments. And why are they important, especially to the called, chosen, and the faithful Rastafari? And as a sub point is, were they taken from the 42 negative confessions of Nebseni in ancient Egypt? No, they wasn't. A confession and a commandment or commandments is two different things. And if you don't know that, you need to stop, pause, and get a definition of a confession. What is a confession? And what is a commandment? Do not confuse a commandment with a confession. Point, right? Point, blank, period. Do not confuse the two. They are two different. But what are the 10 words? What are the 10 commandments? So here in Devarim, ancient Hebrew, Devarim, modern, latter-day Hebrew, is enunciated as Devarim. But Dabar means word and to speak. In the ancient Hebrew, Dabar means word and to speak. So here, let's look this up right here, right? And we're going to make the connection also to teaching of His Majesty. You know, the proof positive that Karmawi Haile Selassie is the Black Messiah, upon the throne of great King David, and that Solomonic dynasty in the highlands based on those Israelites in and of Ethiopia, the Israelites. Right? We're not speaking of the latter-day Jews or Ashkenazi Jews or other, you could say, white European Jews, because of the original. And even if a so-called archbishop, right, or one out of Ethiopia nowadays in the apostasy says otherwise, that the Jews are white people, he is either misled or he is knowingly deceiving people. We would like to think that one is misled, but then if one is misled in such a position, then woyo, we have to then quote the prophecy that we have in Zephaniah 2 and 12. Ye Ethiopians also shall be slain by my sword, because the magic advice to all is to fulfill the 10 commandments, pointing to these, the 10 words. What are the 10 words? What are the 10 commandments? Every time I hear the word, right? So here. My advice to all is to fulfill the 10 commandments, the words of Garmawi, Kadamawi, Haile Selassie, the words of His Imperial Majesty, Haile Selassie I. So in the Royal Amharic, in the 1961 authorized, revised Amharic Bible, the authorized, the official 1961, and this is that book that we have made mention of in Revelation 5 and 5. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So in the Royal Amharic, we have the phrase, Asartun ten kalat. Kalat is words. In the Hebrew, we have Esaret ha-debarim, or some might say the Esaret ha-devarim. We have the ten words, also called the Ten Commandments. Now, it's interesting right here at the top, right here on this particular meme, this pic that is in circulation. You can look it up by looking up Ten Commandments Hebrew. And yes, look up Ten Commandments, because many ones knowingly know what they know, but this is how it has gotten to be, you could say, known or called in the Western world. Now, people say, well, it's the same thing. What's the difference? There is a big difference between Ten Commandments and Ten Words. Here, the Hebrew underneath, it says, Esaret, reading from right to left, ha Diberot. Now, a lot of the Jews like to say Diberot. Diberot is like the feminine form of Debarim. Ha-Debarim. But what does HaTorah, what does the Torah say? Remember, we're going to touch on what these 10 words, the 10 words, just to boil it down simply as possible. The 10 words are the, like, 10 articles of one command. What we have in Exodus, firstly, in Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20 is one command. That one command, what was first given to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, the children of Israel, were 10 words. And these 10 words comprise one command, one pure, perfect will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, of the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. So let's go into the scripts right here. Do we have 10 commandments in the Bible? All right, so let's look this up right here. We'll look it up with you. We're using My Sword right here. You can use other interlineal Bible. There's free software you can download, and you can also have the software. So here we look up 10 commandments, the word 10 and commandments. All right, now here the first mention that sort of is like it, but here it says written, written, written. That's not what we're looking for right here, but just looking and noting this, Exodus 24 and 12, and it says, "And commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Yahweh, Jehovah, said to Moshe, "Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables or tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." So here's one of the first words here that we find in a basic KJV search. Let's go to the next one. Okay, let's scroll that back right there. Okay, here we go. Let's just get this once again. Okay, here we go right here. Okay, Ten Commandments, the next. Here we go, boom. Now someone said, boom, you see right there in Exodus 34, 28, it says the Ten Commandments. Well, if you base it just on English, on a translation, you're putting a whole lot of faith in the translators right there, and seeing that we have the available resources just to fact check. So let's fact check this 1611 translation. First, let's just read the Peshat, the plain English. "And he was there with Yahweh, with Jehovah, 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables or the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments," what KJV says. Note this right here. Next to the words, it says the H1697. H1697. Do you notice that that's the same hyperlink numbering, Strong's and Concordance numbering next to commandments? That should tell you something right there, right? Because if we go over here, right, and we see this right here, notice the word commandment there. The word commandment in the first place, we have Exodus 24 and 12. Clicking on the H4687, we have mitzvah. Mitzvah. Mitzvah, the ancient Hebrew, modern Hebrew, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Do a mitzvah, right? But in the ancient, the true ancient Hebrew, the real ancient Hebrew, mitzvah. Mitzvah. Right? And mitzvah is a commandment. Go down here, right here. It's from the H6680 in the Strong Concordance. That is from Tzawa. Tzawa. Modern Hebrew, Tzawa. Ancient Hebrew, Tzawa. Tzawa. Right? Tzawa is to command, to charge. Let's get down to the Strong's definition. To constitute, to enjoin, to appoint, to bid, to charge, to give a commandment, give in commandment, send with commandment, command, commander, commandment, send a messenger, put, set in order. That is the idea of the Tzawa. Ancient Hebrew, Tzava. Now we have mitzvah, mitzvah. Mitzvah is command. So what does this first entry in Exodus 34:28 actually say? So we're going to view more. Clicking on view more right here, and we're going to compare the verse to bring up the Hebrew. We have the unpointed Aleppo, the BBE. These are different translations, Easy English, right? The HB, the HBPD, the unpointed HEBM, then the HGPD. Let's go down here to, you see the KJV? We're going to go all the way down here to the Tanakh, right? So here's the Tanakh, right? As many point to this as a good point of reference, right? Somewhat authoritative. Why he, it says, why he and be sham, be there, im Yahweh, im Yahweh. Im, Im, Yahuwah, with Jehovah. Why he? Sham, Im, Yahuwah. Be there and be there with Jehovah. Arba'im, Arba'im, right? 40 yom, 40 day, where Arba'im and 40 laila. Lechem, Lechem, bread, lo akal. Lechem, lo akal, lo akal. Bread, lo, no akal. No, he did not eat. Umayim, and water, lo shata, lo shata, and he did not drink mayim, he did not drink water. And here, next line, why yikotov, Some would not say Vayiktov, modern Hebrew, Vayiktov, Al ha luchot, Eita divreya, Ha berita, Esareta, Ha debarim. So that last line, right, the last two lines you see right here, reading from right to left in the Tanakh, that's the verse from Exodus Shemot 34:28. It says, Vayiktov. And he wrote, Vayiktov, Al ha luchot. And he wrote on the tablets, the luchot. Vayiktov al ha luchota eita divrei, the divrei, the words, ha berit, ha berit, the words of the berit, the words of the covenant, eita divrei ha berit, esareta ha debarim. Here's the words right here. This is the words right here. And this is not in Hebrew. This is 10 words. 10 words. It doesn't say esareta ha mitzvot. If it said esareta ha mitzvot, mitzvot, remember mitzvah, mitzvot, that is commandment, commandments, mitzvot, plural. Mitzvot, plural of mitzvah, commandment. Here it says, esaret ha-debarim, modern Hebrew, esaret ha-debarim. The 10, esaret ha, definite article, the debarim, the words, the 10 words. Let's go down here, right here, right, to the breakdown of the Tanakh, right here. And you can see here, for the breakdown of the Tanakh, the H6235, clicking on that, we have esar, two forms of it, eser, asara, right, which is 10, that's what it means, 10, accumulation, as an accumulation to the extent of the digits, some say to the extent of the fingers, the digits, digital, finger. In fact, even in Latin, it's the digits is where we get the word for digital, and that means finger, right, the 10, right, so we have that there, and then the H6235 is 10, and the next word, the H1697, ha-debarim, comes from dabar. Dabar in the ancient Hebrew, ancient pointing, modern pointing, dabar, right? Dabar means speech, word, speaking, saying, or thing, or ting, if you please. Speech, saying, utterance, word, or words. If it's dabar, it's like a word. Dabarim is, and you note that it's dabarim, it's not dibrot. Modern Yehudi, modern Jews often say esaret ha divrot, divrot. Divrot is the feminine sense, but that's not what's written. It's written in the masculine sense, ha debarim, ha barim. It can also, debar refers to business, occupation, acts, matters. Like we say, what's the word? Like, what's the matter? Not always say, like, what's wrong, but what is the matter? What's the word? Speak to me. Debar, right? Debar, right? Here we have Strong's definition from the H1696. So we have dabar, and it comes from the H1696. Click on that right there. Dabar. Now, what's the difference between these two? Dabar, the first one is as a noun, dabar. The second one, dabara, means to speak. So the root here is the verb, to speak, to declare, to converse, to command. In a sense, it can mean to promise, it can mean to warn, it can mean also to threaten and to sing. Depends on the context. As you can see, there's different forms of the Hebrew. There's the kal form, to speak. There's a nephal form, to speak with one another, like to talk, to chat. There's the piel sense, to speak, to promise. The puel sense, to be spoken. The hitapael sense, to speak. And the hifil sense, to lead away, to put to flight. That's a different context. So this word depends on what's the context. What's the context of the text, right? So here, from the Strong's definition, it's getting to the roots, the primitive root, perhaps they say properly to arrange, but used in a figurative sense of words to speak. Now, rarely, note this right here, rarely there's a sense of the word dabar that can be in a destructive sense, which means to subdue with words, to speak, to answer, to appoint, to bid. Now, all of these right here in the Strong's is not necessarily just the meaning, it's how this word may be found in the various areas of the Hebrew Bible, what's often called the Tanakh, right, of the Hebrew, the Berit Yeshana, the Old Testament was referred to, the Hebrew Bible. This is called the Hebrew Bible right there. But here's the point right here. The point is that even though in Exodus chapter 34 and 28 in the English of verse 28 of Shemot, Exodus chapter 34, it says the Ten Commandments, you'll notice that the word for words, H1697, and the word for commandment is also the H1697. It's not mitzvah, so it's not commandment, right? So that's the first place right there, right? The first place. Here, let's go on right here. Where else do we have the Ten Commandments? written right here. Here we have Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy. This is where we're at even in this current Torah portion right here. Deuteronomy 4 and 13. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. Note that it's the same H-1697, which is the bar. The bar, not mitzvah. Not mitzvah. Mitzvah. Not mitzvah. Right? And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Let's bring this up right here. Let's compare. Let's go all the way down here to the Tanakh. Right? The Tanakh. Right, and here it says, "Vayagid lachem et berito asher siwa et kem la sota sareta ha debarim vayikatevim ala shene luchota ibanim." Basically, it's a good basic translation, right? It's a good basic translation, and he declared, "Vayagid." From Yaged Haggadah Agad, to speak, to declare, Vayaged Lachem, and he declared to you, et the Berito, declared to you, Berito, his covenant, Asher Siwa, that which Siwa, he commanded, et tekem, commanded to all of y'all, speaking directly to you all, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Israelites, and to I and I. La is sot, right, to do. La is sot. Asher siwa etekema la is sot. That he commanded y'all, la is sot, to do. Isaret. Here, let's just highlight that so you can see where we're at. Isaret, right, let's highlight these two words right here. There's Isaret, right, Isaret, right there, that is ten of the Isaret, pointed at Isaret. And then we have Ha Debarim, the ten Debarim. As the fourth book of Moshe is known as Devarim, Latter-day Jews, with a European mother tongue, they say Devarim. We say Ha Debarim according to the ancient pointing of the Hebrew, right? And it says Wayikatevim, and he wrote them. Wayikatevim, and he wrote them all upon Shnei two Luchot, tablets, two tablets, Evanim or Ibanim. Luchot al shnei luchota ibanim, and he wrote them on two tables of stone. Ibanim. Some say ibanim, ibanim. Two tables of stone. And just to prove positive that right here, we go down here where we have the hyperlinks, and we have esaret right there. 10. You see esaret. Next word, the H-1697. Dabar in the singular sense of word, and ha debarim, the words. Going further right here, just katav is to write, to record, right? All is upon, right? Shnei, they have it in the plural form, but there we have it in the constructive sense, shnei, because shnei goes with luchot. So as singular, shnaim, if it was just singular, to say two, but saying the two tables, shnei, luchota, ibani. So here's the second place that we have in the translation, Ten Commandments, but in the actual text, we have 10 words, all right? Okay, one more place, because there's three places. There's only three places in Torah, right, where we have 10 commandments in the English KJV, and this is the third here, Deuteronomy 10 and 4. We had Exodus 34, right? Then we have Deuteronomy 4, right? And here we have Deuteronomy 10. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments. Even here, you see the word H. 1697, that's the bar, ha debarim, esareta ha debarim, that Yahweh, that Jehovah spake to you. We don't read the unto, the habarim already understand that right there, to you, because un mean not, right, not, okay, to you, in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and Yahweh and Jehovah gave them to me. So once again, to do due diligence here, let's look at the Hebrew right here. Looking at the Hebrew, we could read this up here, but just for consistency, we're going to go down to the Tanakh, what is called by others the Tanakh. One of the ones, we don't favor that particular wording of it. It's on scripture right there. It's an acronym right there. But since it's a point of reference right here, we're going to touch on it right here. Wayiktov, al ha-luchota, ka-mikatav, ha-rishon, eita esareta ha-debarim, asher diber Yahuwah. Elekem bahara mitoka haesha biyoma Ha-Ahal. Y-Yit-Name, Yahuwah, Eli. So that's basically, that's the only place that is incorrect is where it says Ten Commandments. It should have said 10 words. It should have said 10 words. You can go through this word by word or phrase by phrase. Y-Yiktov, Y-Yiktov, and he wrote Allah ha-Luchot upon the tablets, ha-Miktav, ha-Miktav, according to the writing, as the writing, ha-Miktav, ha-Rishon, ha-Rishon, as the Rishon, as the first. Eight, the eight is the definite article marker there. Saret ha-Debarim, the 10 Debarim words. Asher, that which Diber, Diber, that which spoke, Yahuwah, he who be, who he be. Not I am that I am. That's Ehyah Asher Ehyah. This is Yahuwah. Wahu Haya, Wahu Hawe, Wahu Yehyeh Betifera. Right? Diber, Diber, that spoke, Yahuwah, Jehovah, Elekem, to you all, Bahar, Ba, upon Har, or in the Har, Mitok, 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 from the middle, from the midst, Mitok Ha'esh, from the middle of the fire, Ha'esh, Mitok Ha'esh, Beyom, Beyom, in the day, Ha'kahal, in the day of the assembly, or the Kahal, like Kahila, the church, the called out assembly, Beyom Ha'kahal, the church in the wilderness, that church, we're saying that in the sense of Kahal, to assemble, and the latter day word, the Kahila, the church, the assembly, Beyom Ha'kahal, Y-Yit-Name, and he gave them, Y-Yit-Name, somebody did not say Y-Yit-Name, but Y-Yit-Name, and he gave them, Yahuwah, Jehovah, and Jehovah, Hashem, gave them, Y-Yit-Name, Yahuwah, Eli, and he gave them to I, and he gave them to me, or to I, Eli, Eli, he gave them to I. This is what Moshe, this is what is being said right there. So we have three places. Just to get that, this is important just to get a good foundation on this and to go into the actual verses for some of the potential, possible, or even sincere, but sincerely wrong, naysayers, 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 naysayers.
Yes, 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 yes. That last part there just for the naysayers to have the verses and scripts and to get into it. But here for I and I, the yaysayers.
My advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Throw away your cloud of darkness in this time, like Moses in the days of old. I've got the message, and I've got to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, I'm not here to mill you or to compel you. But my man says, thou shalt not kill, because that's not your will. Killing each other would be that struggle. We are telling you what struggle to set up in a different time, y'all. Stand firm in a different time, y'all. Man and man, it's your high one, y'all. That struggle is the glue in the wind. Look at the world and think of me to keep on going. I will see how many of them for torment and I'll die. And Jack says before when the word pass away, when the word pass away. Fighting and killing is not the way. I still can't see the future time, yeah. Even over here in Africa, Tanzania, Uganda, Mozambique, Southern Africa, don't love and unity is what I see. Well, you gotta stand and cover the peak and you would never, never be weak. Wah! I see that natural mystic kind of blowing in the wind. Black man, what am I saying? War and killing each other every day. Killing for blood, blood, blood. What life is worth right now, man, you should see it there. As if they blow them on as a pop up their comb, y'all. Why don't we down and go for crabby, baby?
Not your mystic. Sorry.
The Proverbs, Chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent, without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, Hear, O Israel, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important,
So hear, hear, hear. We have today's daily psalm right here, Psalm 89. Now, Psalm 89, as we mentioned earlier here, leading up to Psalm 89, we have about 6 minutes. Yeah, 6 minutes. Hopefully, we have this one more hour here for the fuller full today's daily psalm here in the season. So here we are at the 45th reading, the second reading in the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy. We had the previous Shabbat known as the Shabbat Chazon. So here, as we move forward to the second reading here from the fifth book, Wa'et Hanan. In the Hebrew, ancient pointing, Wa'et Hanan. Wa'en et Hanan. And I pleaded, I besought for mercy for Hannah. Wa'et Hanan. And I pleaded, and I beseech, and I besought, as I think KJV brings it out. We pick up here with Deuteronomy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 23 to chapter 7, verse 11. So the Shabbat, the Sabbath, immediately following the Tisha B'Av. Now here in the season of Tisha B'Av, which is a Hebrew phrase, Tisha'ah, the ninth, right? Saying nine, ninth, right? The ninth B'Av in the father, or in the month, the fifth moon, that's known as Av. And it got that naming. Before, the only month that had a name according to HaTorah was Abib. Abib, the first moon, the first month. We said the Exodus moon, the Exodus month. But after the Babylonian captivity, some of the names, the moons and the months were adopted. One of them was for this fifth month called Av. So after the ninth of the fifth moon, which is the Tisha B'Av. And what is the Tisha B'Av? And see, today's daily psalm really kind of reflects here, according to the royal order, Ethiopian Hebrews. We had the Haftarah for the Shabbat Chazon. Shabbat, the Sabbath of Chazon. What is Chazon? Chazon, from the Hebrew Chazah, to envision, to experience a vision. Chazon is the vision, so the Sabbath of the vision. And what vision did we have from the previous Shabbat, the Shabbat Chazon? Well, some would seem this overall based on the prophetic and the historical, the evidence. It became a vision of destruction, right? Because there was no repentance. There was no change of mind. Even right there where we have played Natural Mystic Dub, right? But Hana Selassie, Barman Wheeler's Dub, Natural Mystic, the tune there. To Proverbs chapter 1, that warning instruction about bad peer pressure. you know. But the following, right, a few thoughts, just a few thoughts regarding the Haftarah, right, the Haftarah reading from the 44th degree of our sabbatical study, which represented the first reading in the fifth book. Here, this Shabuah here, we're picking up with the second reading in the fifth book. But as that was Shabbat Chazon, here, we're coming forward as we, this sabbatical leading to the seventh, leading to the Shabbat Nechamu. What is the Shabbat Nechamu? The Shabbat Nechamu upcoming is the Sabbath of comfort. So we had the Shabbat Chazon previous here in the season, the Sabbath of the vision, right? Even that vision, you know, of a destruction that would occur to the Bnei Yisrael, the Beta Israel, even foretelling the captivities, right, from the first, from the destruction of Shlomo Solomon's temple during the time of the Babylonians. And then we get the second temple of Jerusalem during the time of the Romans in 70 AD. So the Sabbath that followed the Tisha B'Av connected with the Shabbat Chazon, here, coming forward, is the Shabbat Nechamu. Shabbat Nechamu. So the Sabbath Nechamu corresponds with the Wa'et HaHanan, the reading from Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, where Moshe says, "And I besought, I pleaded." The Hebrew sense, "I besought, I pleaded," yes, but in the direct context, I mercied. I sought Hana, right? I sought for mercy and grace. I pleaded for mercy. You know, like in court, you say, like, you know, you fall on the Lord of his mercy, you know, fall on the court, the mercy of the court. This is similar to what Moshe did, right? But here, as we move forward here, the 45th degree of our sabbatical study, we have the Shabbat Nechamu. Now, Nechamu, the Sabbath of comfort, we take time to remember the Beta Israel, the Beit Yisrael at home and abroad, and even I and I over here, the Beta Israel of the West, of this Western dispersion, this exile, this galut. And we remember the future, looking forward, forward ever, right? Backward never. We recall, we reflect, but we shouldn't be trotting in backward ways. We should be moving onward and upward. Kadima, 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 forward, looking at the future, yay and amen. Brothers and sisters, we're at that 90-second mark right here, here, here. So those who would seek to call in, or hopefully ones and ones are checking eye and eye out on the Rastafari Israelites. So write O Psalm 89. Today's daily psalm is Psalm 89. And Psalm 89, it really reflects the reason for the season right here. So from Shabbat Chazon, which is a Sabbath that immediately precedes the Tisha B'Av, and the Tisha B'Av, it recalls and commemorates the destruction of the first and the second temple, right, on that very same day. And what makes it even more interesting is that the Hebrew calendar is a lunar solar calendar. So it's not like the solar calendar, which sometimes it can actually occur more or less on the same day. But the kind of ebbs and the flow of the lunar calendar to have these great destructions, especially the first and the second temple, and also other tragedies, like the spies that told lies in the wilderness. The sages have deduced from her Torah that also was the Tisha B'Av, right? On the Tisha B'Av, the spies that brought back lies and sentencing a whole generation to wander to death in the wilderness. But for, you know, those Israelites that are more material, you know, their clothing and their shoes didn't wear out. So I guess that's the good news there. But they didn't make it into the promised land. Here we have a new generation. Moshe giving his farewell direction instruction here. And there's a Haftarah connected to the Wa'et HaHanan. The Haftarah here is Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 26. It begins with these particular words from the Hebrew, Nechamu, Nechamu, Ami, Yomar Adonai, or Yomar Yahweh, Yahweh, Yomar, saith Jehovah, Nechamu, Nechamu. All of y'all have Naham. Now, you know the name Nehemiah, like Naham, and then when you contract it, we can even find Noch, like Noah, like comfort, consolation. Right?
The sense is often brought out as speak comfortably to Ami, to my people. Speak comfortably to my people, saith Yahweh, saith Jehovah. Despite Yasharala Yisrael's trials and tribulations, today's daily psalm, Psalm 49, is known as a psalm, a chant of a time of tribulation, national adversity. Despite Yisrael's trials and tribulations, John's love for her, continues forever. I know some will say, well, don't you sometimes say the sons and Israel is my son? Yes, that is true according to the oracle, the revelation of he who be who he be's words. We have the Ten Commandments given to all of Israel, especially the sons of Israel, speaking to all the mandem as one man. But then we see in the prophetic books, sometimes Yahweh is speaking to Yisrael. He's speaking to the soul, basically, the psyche, the soul, but he's speaking to she. So despite her, she being she, our souls, getting psyched out by the world flesh, the satanic sakura. Let's write up right here because we still have time right here, not to get into the fullness, but so one can hopefully begin to see some of the interconnections right here. So with today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, we found this to be particularly interesting going through the royal Amharic. Now, this psalm is a biggie, right? But it's big, but it's important. It has like 52 verses in it. But it has two particular parts, right, to today's daily psalm. Basically from verse 1 to roughly around verse like 37, 38, like verses like 37, 38, King James Version, verses 38, 39 in the Hebrew. So today's daily psalm, Mizmor Faith, Mizmor Peitet, Faith 8, Psalm LXXXIX, Psalm 89, is themed the meditation in national adversity. From the Royal Amharic, I recall, it says, Yemekra Gizeh Mezmor. Mekra is like trouble, trial, like tribulation. Gizeh is time, of tribulation times, Mezmor, a chant, Isis. So here we have a meditation in national adversity. So there's two divisions in today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, that are clearly marked in the psalm with a break when we look at it from the Hebrew ordering of the verses at verse 39. When we look at it from the English, right, it will roughly be at verse 38, ending at verse 37. And beginning in the KJV with verse 38, which corresponds in the Hebrew verse 39. So all the verses before that is the first part. And then we have a second part after verses 38, 39. The first section, look at the first section, it deals with the past in that the two attributes of Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, of the true good, the true God, the power. What are the true attributes? Take note of this. The two attributes are mercy, according to the translation, mercy and faithfulness. Or mercy and faithfulness. We find this brought out, one particular verse even brings it out very well. Mercy and faithfulness. So in the first part of today's daily psalm, it brings out the two key attributes of the power of Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. And these two are mercy, sometimes translated as, how do you translate it? Sometimes loving kindness, the same word in the Hebrew, even the Royal Amharic, but in the English, sometimes one place they'll say mercy. The same word will translate over here as loving kindness. So we get a sense of the Hebrew sense and the Hebrew sense into the English. Mercy is related to loving kindness and faithfulness. Now the word faithfulness, right, emunat, emunatika, emuna, emuna from the amene. What would they say? The amen root, the root to support, to lean on, to trust, to credit, to admit as true. But also has a sense of when we talk about like one's faith in a lower Western Gentile sense, one's religion. But in the higher sense, what you admit even spiritually to be true.
So we have the first section from verse 1 to roughly verse 37, 38 from KJV perspective, Hebrew perspective, to verse 39. The first section, it deals with the past. It's like a retrograde. Moshe is doing the same thing here in this Torah reading and feeding. Here, as we're in the fifth book, in the book of Deuteronomy, Debarim, right? Debarim. Yeah, looking at the past. And he's speaking to a new generation, Jah called on the youths because they are strong, and he's warning them about the ukeries and mix-up moods and attitudes of their parents who were brought out of Egypt. And their parents said something very interesting when they listened to the spies. The spies discouraged them of coming out of the wilderness and entering in and conquering the land, the Afro-Canaanite land. The parents said, oh, man, these people in the land, ooh, these Afro-Canaanites. You know, Africa, Canaanites, you know, they were scared, but they were talking about being man of war, warriors. They were walking around the camp like warriors, but when it was time now to, you know, put the boots on the ground, they got scared. And they took the opportunity of these lying witnesses bringing back a dibby-dibby report to then make their, you know, a bad exercise of democracy. In other words, they listened to the majority. They listened to the 10 liars and not the two truth tellers, right? That's the bad thing about democracy. Check, check. And they had said to Jehovah, they said, should we go in there and our children will become a prey? Basically, they said, if we go in there, our children are going to be victimized. They try to make their punk and their cowardice, especially the mind of war them, you know, that like to play dress up. They try to make their cowardice, you know, as looking out for their children. And it's interesting because nowadays amongst the once lost, now found, this kind of idea comes out like, we're doing this for the children. Yeah. Some of y'all really believe that, right? It should be. But holistically, not because there's a problem or tragedy now you decide, oh, you know, we need to do this for the children. No. But actually, going in and conquering the land would have been for the children. They basically say that we go in there, the children who don't know good from evil, left from right, they will be victimized going over there to the Afro-Canaanite land. Like some of these, like, talk about Africa, seem like in that same way. And they warriors. But here, in particular, right, in particular, these two attributes need to be noted, mercy and faithfulness. Right, as it says in verse KJV, will be verse. Okay, I'm reading this from the Hebrew, so it's a little different. It's included the superscription, maskil, like a teaching of Etan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever. To all generations will I make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. So he says, I will sing of what? The mercies. The what? The mercies of he who be, we be. Chasadei Yahuwah. The mercies of Jehovah. To all generations will I make known what? Thy faithfulness, emunatika, thy faithfulness with my mouth. Then you go to the next verse and says, for I have said, forever is mercy built. Chesed, right, is mercy built. In the very heavens, thou, the I, dost establish thy, the I, faithfulness. Now, it's interesting in the Royal Amharic, this in some areas is brought out by the word ilnet, truth. But then when it says faithfulness, right, it can be seen, in a sense, by his faith. And I'm speaking this especially to the called children of faith for Rastafari, you know, concerning the faith of the King of Kings. And we speak about the King of Kings, Christ, not doctrines of men and people that vainly worship his majesty, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men and people, but according to the teaching of his majesty. So these two attributes, mercy and faithfulness, always faithful, always sure, were abundantly demonstrated and manifest in his relation and the relationship with Yisrael Yasharal. Right? So it's not about religion in this sense, but it's about the relation, right, and the revelation. Right, to help strengthen the relation. In particular, the promise, there was a yay, amen, amen to Dawid, to David. We talk about the Davidic throne, right? The throne of David, the Davidic throne. Well, here's the groundation. You can't defend the Davidic throne if you don't understand the groundation. So in particular, the yay and the amen, or the promise to Dawid that his throne would endure forever, is recalled. This is another proof positive for I and I, Rastafari Israelites of Kedemawi Haile Selassie, because is that David will never lack a man to sit on his throne. But then there's the traditional view, Judaic and Jewish view, it seems as though that had ended back in the B.C. days, you know. But according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, the Israelites of Ethiopia, and even other witnesses, that continued even from the time of King Solomon of Jerusalem of Israel and the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, Queen Makeda, and their only son who became the first Israelite king. Right? You are what your father is, so his father is the Israelite upon the throne, right, of David. Right, David had a son named Solomon, and Solomon had a son named David who renewed, right, the kingdom of David, right, in the tops of the mountain. This is why Psalm 87, verse 4, it says, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. So his throne would endure forever, right? That means that there will always be until the fulfillment of the messianic times when the kingdom returns to God. Some people think it's just the king, you have a king all the time. But remember, the Israelites had the king even though it was in the wilderness. And it was rebelling against their king. And he was the king of kings. It was Yahweh. He was the king then. He even said, he knew them. You know, he knew his people. You know your children, you know. If you have children, you're a good parent. You know them. You know, you're like, yeah, I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do later on. And when you decide to do this, make sure you do it this way. That's why we have the direction instruction concerning kings. Right, and the rules and regulation concerning kings, right? Why Shemuel, Samuel wasn't so happy because of what the Israelites wanted to have in the king. When we was kings, right? In particular, the promise to Dawid that his throne would endure forever. Now, even the word forever sometimes is dubious from the English perspective, right? Olam, le'olam, zelalem. Lezalalem, it really means to the world, like the world's without end, or to a time indefinite, right? To an indefinite period of time, right? An indefinite period of time. And we can show that in some proofs, but let's go on right here. Today's daily psalm, as we segue today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, with the narrative we have here in the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Deuteronomy. So even the psalm, the chant, the iditation is twofold. It's recording, you know, the past, and then here comes the second part. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge and the judgment. The second section from roughly KJV-wise, verse 38, in the Hebrew, Sefer Tehillim, if you're reading the Hebrew, numbering would be verse 39. That second section, right, it comes with a disillumination, a lack of light. Right, a darkened, a disillumined picture of the nation, speaking of the Beit Israel, right, or call Israel, the house of Israel, vicissitudes, trials and tribulations, as well as the overthrow of the government, the Malkut, right, the Mamlaka in the Hebrew, the Mengist, the overthrow of the kingdom by a triumphant enemy. Chant. Word. Because the first part is like saying what John has done, his mercy, his faithfulness, how he promised to David, you know, and all that. And then when you come to those verses right there, verses like 37 to like 39 in them verses, you see it's like wheel, you know, they say wheel, like rewind, you got to haul and pull. It's like a whole new tune comes in this tune right here. So these two sides of Psalm 89. So glaring is the contrast. The contrast is really it's contrasted. First part is like, yeah, that's right. We Israel, yes. We got our king, all of that. And then it's like, well, what happened? How has the crown fall down? So glaring is a contrast between the promise, right, the yay and the amen. And the second part of the psalm is the frustration, right, frustration. That the psalmist and I, we give utterance, word, sound, and power to his and I perplexity.
in forceful language. And finally, sealing up the psalm, today's daily psalm here in the season, reason for the season, Psalm 89, the meditation, the iditation, in national adversity. Or we could say in national satanic activity, right? Adversity. Finally, he prays to Ha'elohim Ha'el, to the Almighty, the power, the true good, the true God, that he will remember Amo, remember your people in their adversity, right? Help them to come out of all their satanic activity. Now, the circumstances or the situations, they point to the time of the downfall, the national downfall before the Babylonians. When we start to look at the areas of the scripture that has the historical, right, the historical points of reference. So this is speaking to the time of the Babylonian, what is often referred to as the Babylonian captivity. What we have here is speaking to the time of the Babylonian captivity. And where are we now, even within the prophecy? Come out of her. Come out of Babylon, my people. Come out of her. So right here, just to ride up, give first ear right here to today's daily psalm, the full of full. Like we said, note the verses, note the change, note the contrast, right? Note the contrast. So first, it's like remembering all that when we read in the scripture, it says Israel would be above all nations, and we're this people that he chose even after all the great nations to make a great nation, right? And then it's like, well, look at us now. Here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, full of full. Here, opening with some of the Hebrew highlights.
Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless,
My loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen, and 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 amen.
And also right here, just a note, whenever we have the amen and amen, as we have here, fulfilling today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, which says, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, blessed be he who be, who he be, forever, to time indefinite. Amen. We're amen. Whenever we find that there, it's not really a part of the psalm as the psalm itself, but it is the usual form of ending a book of the Psalter, a book of Psalms. So within the book of Psalms, from the Hebraic perspective, the book of Psalms, like to HaTorah, is in five books. As even here, we're in the fifth book of HaTorah. Here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, it ends the third book. Right, the third book of the Psalter, and with Psalm 90, Psalm 90 begins the fourth book of Psalms. So we also have here the end of the third book of the Psalter with the Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord, the Lord, the Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Another interesting note right here, don't have the KJV before me right at this point, but it's that verse 20, I think it'll be 27 in the King James Version. But here it reads like this here, as the 28th verse, it says, I will also appoint him firstborn. I will also appoint him firstborn. And the second part of the verse says, the highest of the kings of the earth. I think I heard Scorby read the KJV, higher. It says higher than the kings of the earth. But here's an interesting note from the Hebrew, right? It says Elyon, that even the king of Yisrael, right, even as Nebuchadnezzar, when the coronation titles anointed that day, November 2nd, 1930, right, the king of Israel, the king of Israel upon the throne of King David is Elyon, is the highest. One bringing out of it to English is the highest of the kings of the earth. Elyon le Malkei Aretz. Le of Malkei Aretz. Malkei Aretz, the kings of the earth. Elyon, he is the most high. He is the most high of the kings of the earth.
So in comparison, the King of Kings and the King of Yisrael, in comparison to other kings from the Hebraic, the covenant, because of the scriptural, the biblical perspective, he is Elyon. He is Most High. I point that out because many of us have a very faulty, some things are true, but until we, you know, break the spell of the linguistics, you know, and get to the root and get to the Hebrew, yes, I.
What is true?
David, my servant, shall be king over them. They all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Evermore. 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 Evermore.
Even that little man, you know, and it's that little short man. Yeah, a little short man. The flesh matters not, it's the spirit. He is the Most High. Yes, I.
Padamawi, Padamawi. Inflatia.
The whole place is due for
help. Hold on. Le Malke Aret. That's right. Aile, 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 kind of an overview study of today's daily psalm right here, here, here. Also have the Amen and the Olam, like the forever and world connection here. Hopefully we can share that too on this podcast. But first, the Midrash on today's daily psalm, Psalm 18.
Here, here, here. Maskil. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Feit 8, Mizmor Peit 8, Psalm 89. Maskil Le Etan. Ha Ezrahi, Ha Ezrahi, Maskil of Etan, the Ezrahite, Maskil Le Etan, Ha Ezrahi. These words are to be considered in the light and illumination of the verse from Scripture that reads, even from Jeremiah 9:23. Ki im abizota yita halela, ha mita halela, haskela, we yadoa oti, ki ani Yahua, ose cheseda mishpata uesedaka faaret, kia be aile, chafat ti, noumi Yahua, but let him make him that glorious, glory in this. Kiim bizota yita halela hamita halela, that he understandeth and knoweth I. Haskela we yadoa oti, that he understandeth, haskel, and knoweth me and knoweth I, that I am Yahuwah Jehovah, he who be, who be, who exercise mercy, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Ki ani Yahuwah ose chesed mishpat u'tzedaka ba'aretz. When Etan ha Ezrahi said, I understand. Hence, maskil le Etan ha Ezrahi, maskil of Etan the Ezrahite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, replied, dost thou understand that, according to the words of Jeremiah 9 and 23, in these things I delight. Ki be'el chafatzti. In these things I delight. Ki be'el chafatzti. And that any man who would praise me, praise I, must praise I only with these things, with these things. Thus again, Scripture says, even in the words of Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Ki chesed chafatzti v'lo zabach. For I desire mercy. Ki chesed chafatzti, and not sacrifice. Wilo zabach, zabach, zabach. Etan ha ezrahi. Ethan the Ezrahite said to Ha'el, to Elohim, the true good, the true God, thou, the I, desires mercy, and I shall praise, I says the I, with mercy, as is said in Psalm 62, verse 13. Also to the I, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Uleka Adonai Chesed, also to thee I. Uleka Adonai, O Adonai, Chesed, also to the I, O Adonai, belongeth mercy. Uleka Adonai Chesed, and not with one mercy alone, but with many mercies. For as it is said, even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah 63 and 7, I will make mention of the mercies of the Lord. Chastei Yahuwah Azkir, I will make mention of the mercies of Jehovah. Chastei Yahuwah Azkir. Hence, here, even in today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Feit 8, Psalm 89, Hebraically, here, at verse 2, hence, I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever, for ever. Chasidei Yahuwah Olam Ashirah. I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever, for ever. Chasidei Yahuwah Olam Ashirah. For I have said, the world is built on mercy. In the very heavens thou, the I, dost establish thy faithfulness. Ki amarti olam chesed yibane shamayim takin emunateka bahem. For I have said, ki amarti, forever, for I've olam, is mercy built. Olam chesed yibane, in the very heavens shamayim, thou dost establish, takin, thy faithfulness. Emunateka vahem, vahem, vahem. Not the heavens alone, not Shemaim alone, but the throne, the throne, the throne, is established on nothing, on no thing, on nothing, nothing other than mercy. As is said in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, Yeshayah, Isaiah 16 and 5, and in mercy shall the throne be established. Wilhukan ba chesed kisei. And in mercy shall the throne be established. Wilhukan ba chesed kisei. With what is kisei, is the throne, to be compared? With a throne that had four legs, one of which was short, so that he who sat upon the throne was shaken. Therefore, he took a pebble and propped up the throne. Thus, like this, also the throne of Shemayim, the throne of heaven, was shaken. If one dare say such a thing, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, propped it up. And wherewith did Ha'el, did Elohim, prop it up? With mercy. Hence, here it is said, the world is built on mercy. The world is built on mercy. And So David said, in the words of Psalm 136 and 5, to him that by wisdom built the heavens, le ose hashemayim biya tebuna, le ose hashemayim biya tebuna, to him that by wisdom, tebuna, understanding, intelligence, tebuna, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, le ose hashemayim biya tebuna. On what then do Hashemayim, the Shemayim, the heavens stand? On mercy. As the verse concludes, for his mercy is for the world. For his mercy is for the world. Ki le'olam chasdo. For his mercy is for the world. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy is for the world. Ki le'olam chasdo. And again, in the words of Psalm 136, the next verse, verse 6, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, li roka'a ha'aretz al hamayim, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, li roka'a ha'aretz al hamayim. Why this baraka? Why this blessing? Because his mercy is for the world. For his mercy, ki le'olam chasdo. And this refrain runs throughout the whole mizmor, the whole psalm, the whole chant, the whole intonation. And besides all these acts of mercy, and beside all of these acts of mercy in Psalm 136, verse 25, it reads, he giveth food to all flesh. He giveth food to all flesh. Noten lechem lekol basar. Noten lechem lekol basar. He giveth food to all flesh. This verse tells you that his providing of sustenance outweighs all the other works of creation put together. Rav Eliezer taught, the necessities of life are like redemption. The necessities of life are like redemption. As redemption is miraculous, so the necessities of life are miraculous. As the necessities of life come every day, so redemption comes every day. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Samuel Bar Nachmani taught, the necessities of life are greater than redemption. For while redemption is at the hand of an angel, as is said even in Bereshit, in Genesis, Genesis 48 and 16, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, Hamalaka Hagoela Otia Mikol Ra'a, the angel, ha-mala'ak, the angel who redeemed me, ha-mala'ak, ha-go'ela-oti, from all evil, mi-kol ra'a. The necessities of life depend from the hand. The necessities of life, of liberty, depend from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the hand of the Holy One, blessed be He. As is said even in Psalm 145, and 16, thou, the eye, openest thy hand and satisfiest every living thing with favor. Poteach et yadika u'amasbi'a l'kol chai ratzon. Thou openest thy hand, poteach et yadika, and satisfiest every living thing with favor. U'amasbi'a l'kol chai ratzon. Hence here, olam chesed yibaneh. Hence here, the world is built on mercy. Olam chesed yibaneh. What parable, what mashal fits the creation, the iration of the world? the mashal, the parable of a king, of a melech, of a negus, even negus neges, who had treasuries filled with good things, and who asked, to what end are these things laid up? Shall get I servants, give them to eat and to drink, so that they will praise, they will eyes as I, they will praise me. Just so the world was waste and empty. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, rose up and created the earth and let and made man rule everything. Therefore, what ought we, I and I, to do? To bless and praise our Creator. Even so, Scripture says in the words of Psalm 150:6, let make everything that have breath praise Yahuwah, praise Jehovah. Kol ha-neshama tihalel Yah, hallelujah. Make everything that hath breath. Kol ha-neshama. Kol ha-neshama. Make everything that hath breath. Kol ha-neshama. Praise Yah. Kol ha-neshama tihalel Yah, hallelujah. Praise ye Yah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore, for evermore. Amen and amen. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen, with amen. Blessed be he who be who he be, for evermore. Amen and amen. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen, with amen. The concluding verse of today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Faith 8, Psalm 89. Rav Eliazar said in the name of Rav Jose ben Zimra, Amen is used in three ways. Amen is used in three ways. As an assent to truth, as an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen is used in three ways. As an assent to truth, as an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen. As an assent to truth comes in the verse, even the verse in Bereshith in Genesis 42:20. So shall your words be verified. So shall your words be verified. Ve'emanu divrekem, and so shall your words be verified with yemanu divrekem. Amen, as an oath, occurs in the verse, even in Bamidbar, in Numbers 5:22. And the womb man shall say, Amen, Amen,
Amen,
Amen, Amen. Ve'amra ha'isha, Amen, Amen. And the woman shall say, We amra ha'isha, Amen, Amen. Amen to show acceptance occurs in the verse from Nehemiah 8:6. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen,
Amen,
Amen. Waya'innu kol ha'am, Amen, Amen. And all the people answered, Waya'innu kol ha'am, Amen, Amen,
Amen,
Amen. When Amen is repeated, one Amen is for this world, and the other Amen is for the Olam Haba, is for the world to come. This is intimated in the words, even the words concluding today's daily psalm, Mizmor Peit 8, Faith 8, Psalm 89. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen. With amen. Blessed be Jehovah. Blessed be he who be who he be. Baruch Yahuwah forevermore. Le'olam. Amen. With amen. Amen. And amen. 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 Amen.
bless these Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, Jah Rastafari, who liveth and reigneth with I and I, continually ever faithful, ever sure. Jah Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman Vibration.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord, the Lord, the Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. That's what we've been told to say it. Amen. Amen. But in the Hebrew, more correctly, it'll be Amen. Also in the Royal Amharic, in the Ethiopic, Amen. Amen. Now, of course, the English A, the letter A, the strange vowel. It's a strange vowel. Actually, it'll be the E-U-E-R-A, A, A. That's the way it's said in the Western, but more correctly, it will be E-U-E-R, Amen, Amen. So the A sound is actually on the second sound, Amen. But otherwise, one will say Amen. But here in today's psalm, in Psalm 89, that last little section there, let's go over it right here. A reasonment that we were actually reasoning on, then got into today's psalm and said, Chan, here is the Amen with Amen, the Amen and Amen, here. So here we go to today's daily psalm, and we go to the very last verse. If you are looking at this in the KJV, it would be verse, I think, 52. Here in the Hebrews, verse 53, the one that reads, Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. In the Hebrew, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Modern Hebrew, Amen v'amen. Amen v'amen. Ancient pointing, Amen v'amen. Amen v'amen. Amen ve'amen. Amen v'amen. So here. Blessed be. Baruch. Blessed. Yahuwah, he who be, who he be, le'olam, forever. Now, also another interesting note, not to get into in great detail here, but to note it for the Havarim, is this idea of world. This idea of world in the Hebrew, we have the word olam. We have olam haba, olam world haba, haba to come, and the olam hazot, the olam hazet, the olam hazot, and this world, the world to come, and this world. Also in today's psalm, a maskil, a teaching, composition of Ethan the Ezrahite. He uses terminology right here concerning forever. Let's see if we can just look at the Hebrew and just to bring it out. Why I'm pointing to it is because when we hear the phrase, for God so loved the world, could also be Hebraically interpreted as for God, for the power, Hailahim, so love forever, or he has forever love. For the power, the source, the true good, the true God has forever love. So this word that's sometimes translated in English as world also is translated as forever. So that's a kind of a companion point right here. As we have in the first verse, I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever. Chaste Yahuwah Olam Ashira Ashira Ashira. I will sing a song. Ashira Ashira Chaste Yahuwah Olam Ashira. Brought out as, I will sing of the mercies of he who be who he be, chesedei. Chesedei is a conjunctive. We have chesed, mercy, loving kindness. Chesed, one of the attributes, the 13 revealed attributes of he who be who he be. This is why the true meaning of Yahweh, be he who be who he be, he who becomes who he becomes. And then he revealed those attributes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here. Chesedei Yahweh, the mercies of he who be who he be, olam. Literally, it's the word for world. But in the context here, it's forever. Because we get to the root of the alam, and alam has a hidden aspect. As far as time, speaking of time, it's to an indefinite time. Forever is an indefinite time. Not in the Western Gentile sense of forever, forever, ever, ever, ever. You know, that sense really don't make sense in the Hebrew, but bringing out the Hebrew sense, olam, for the world, for ever, in the sense of for time indefinite. Chaste Yahuwah Olam Ashira. Now, if this was translated as elsewhere, it would read something like the mercies of Jehovah, world I will sing. It even makes some sense there as well. But I'm just zooming in on the word olam because we hear people in the translation say, for God so loved the world, as though his love was for the world, instead of his love being for Yisrael and the patriarchs and matriarchs of Israel, because they accepted the yoke, the discipline, as the Moshiach, Yeshua says, take my yoke, take my discipline. The Bnei Yisrael accepted the yoke of Torah, the yoke of his direction, instruction, the discipline of his direction, instruction. And then we also find this again in the next verse where it says, for I said, forever is mercy built. Ki amarti, ki for amarti, I have said olam chesed yibaneh. Olam chesed yibaneh. Forever is mercy built. Olam, forever a world. Chesed, mercy, loving kindness. Yibaneh, yibaneh, is built or will be built. So I just zoom in on that right there, because here in the benediction of today's psalm, the closing doxology, a doxology, like orthodoxa. Doxa means like opinion, thinking, praise from the Koine Greek. So orthodoxa is like the straight thinking or right thinking in that sense. A doxology is something that is said as a baraka, as a blessing. So the closing doxology, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, Amen wa'amen. Blessed be he who be who he be, le'olam, forever. Amen and amen. So here, let's bring this out right here. Here in the Midrash, the study, right, it said, blessed be the Lord forevermore, amen and amen. Going to Psalm 89, verse 52. And Rav Eliezer said in the name of Rav Jose ben Zimra, he said that the Amen, the wisdom of the ancient sages, the Amen is used in three ways, Amen, Hebraically, three ways, as an assent to truth. So some truth that is spoken, Amen. Now when we get to the root of Amen, the Aleph, the Mim, and the Nun, we have Amenet, Amenet, Aman, it's a verb. Like in Amharic, if I say Amnalo, that could be translated as I believe, I admit as truth. More literally, bringing out the Amharic sense, I admit as truth. I'm admitting as true. I'm admitting to it as true. I don't know if it's true, but I admit to it as truth. Amnalo, Amen, Alo, Amen, Alo, Amnalo, from the Amenet root. But here, to what Rav Eliezer said in the Shem of Rav Jose ben Zimra, Amen is used in three ways. Also note the fingerprint of he who be who he be, the Trinity of the Hebrew Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the three ways. One, as an assent to truth, as an assent to Emet, right? As an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen, as an assent to truth, it occurs in the verse that we have in Genesis, in Bereshit, Genesis 42 and 20, where it says, so shall your words be verified. So there's a sense of verity. Amen, amen, I say to you, Robeinu, I and I rabbi, the rabbi, Shu HaMoshiach, in many of the areas where he said, like, verily, verily, amen, amen. And then we have in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, that a name of Moshiach, of Yeshua, is the amen. I know people will sometimes go to ancient Mitzrayim and say, oh, look, do we have statues and wall paintings and carving? Yes. But the language was longer than that because in the beginning was the word. So different people figured from the common roots different ideas in different ways. But here, Hebraically, Amen is an assent to truth that occurs even in the words in Genesis 42 and 20. So shall your words be verified, be Amen, in other words. Amen as an oath. It occurs in the verse from Numbers, Bamidbar, where the woman shall say, Amen, Amen, I admit as truth, it's true. I admit as true, true and faithful it is. In fact, in Revelation, the Chazon of Yohanan, the vision of John and Yohannes Rai, in Revelation 3:14, it says, the true and the faithful witness, he is the Amen, the true and the faithful witness, bringing out the Hebraic, the sense of the meaning. So the woman in Numbers 5 and 22, she shall say, Amen, Amen, that she has testified, and she has testified the truth. Amen to show acceptance, it occurs in the verse from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. True and faithful it is. So when Amen is repeated, here from the notes from Psalm 89, right here, the Midrash notes, when Amen is repeated, as we have in today's psalm, Amen, Wa'amen,
Amen, Wamein, Amen, Wi, Amen. One is the Amen for this world, and the other Amen is for the world to come. So one Amen for Olam Hazot, this world, and one for Olam Haba, the world to come. This is intimated by the words we have right here in the fulfillment of the 89th Psalm. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen. We amen. Now let's go on a little bit more. How much time we have right here? Hopefully we pick up on this even more in this Shabuah right here. Right, referring to a reference book, one of the best that we found. This book is called To Pray as a Jew, Guide to the Prayer Book and the Synagogue Service by Chaim Halevi Donen, right, by a rabbi named Chaim Halevi Donen. And from our years of reading and researching and, you know, growing up in the knowledge of it, I get to recognize that his compilation right here is one of the best, getting straight to the point and bringing out things that, you know, sometimes you find a book or you find some writing and it has everything right there, or a lot of things that it took you going here and there to kind of piece it together. So I share this one right here, a little bit more on the Amen, a little bit more on the Amen. So here in chapter 11, there's responses in prayer, and it's speaking of the Amen, the Amen. The Hebrew word Amen has entered almost every language in the world and is today one of the most universally known words. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the Afro-Shemitic, the Ethiopic, Amen, Amen, is one and the same with the Hebrew, even in the pointed manuscripts, Amen. The European Jews, the Ashkenazi, they have another mother tongue, different mother, other mother tongue. They pronounce it as Amen, Amen, Amen. Instead of Ah, it's Amen. You know that in Christianity, the Western Gentile, well, they say Amen, Amen. And the Sephardi Yehudi, the Spanish Jews from ancient times, they say it as we say it, Amen, Amen. So the proper Hebraic pronunciation is Amen, but it has gone into many different languages, right? It is also one of the most ancient and originating in HaTorah. We have it here, point of reference in the Torah, as a response of affirmation. Now, I know once and once we'll go back and talk about the so-called Amen. First of all, in ancient Egypt, you're going to have to tell me exactly how do you think that word is said. Because we have various words that come from this Trinity root. The Trinity root in the Shemitic languages, words have three letters that compose the most ancient roots. And the words appear as verbs as well as nouns and give various different pronunciations to different formations based on patterns. So it's like, how can I say, it's like somebody has something called a caller, but in their language they don't have calling, called, I call, you know what I mean, the different verb forms of it. They just have one form of it. This is what we find in ancient Egypt. So it points to, remember, the Mitzrayim from Ham, from Ham, from Noch, according to the Hebrew testimony. So it's a shared roots. But here, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 16 to 26, we find a series of pronouncements by the Levim, the Levites, to which the people responded, Amen. The book of Chronicles, right, 1 Chronicles 16:35, clearly indicates that in the time of King David, Dawit HaMelech Negus Dawit, the second king, he was the second king of Israel, or the second Messiah, so to speak, of Israel, anointed king of Israel, roughly around 1000 BCE, the people responded with Amen upon hearing HaBraka, upon hearing the Baraka, the blessing. So when he heard the blessing said, blessed be Jehovah, the power of Yisrael, from now and to all eternity. When he heard that Baraka right there, the blessed be he who be who you be, they responded in the time of Dawit by saying Amen. And we link the Amen in that sense Hebraically to the expression in the Royal Amharic, Amen Alo, Amen Alo, admitting Alo, I admit, as almost like a conjunction, constructive, the two parts, Amen, the root of admitting, right, or accepting as true, Alo, I. So I admit as truth, Amen Alo, bringing out the sense of admittance. And this word is also connected with the word for faith. Like in the Royal Amharic, we have Imnet, right? In the Hebrew, we have Emuna. Also in the Ethiopic, we have Haimanot, Amene, Amenot, Emuna. So we have this in various different forms, both here as an affirmation to truth, as an acceptance of a baraka, so said. Now, the diligent reader and student, fellow Haberim, who seeks to find Amen elsewhere in the Bible, should also refer, as you mentioned, to Numbers chapter 5, verse 22, to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 36, to Psalms chapter 41, verse 14, to Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 5, and chapter 28, verse 6, to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13. Some other interesting amen expressions. Now, in the Sephardic Hebrew, the Spanish-speaking Jew, Mediterranean Yehudi, the A in amen is pronounced as an ah, as an ah. In the English, it's pronounced as an A, but in the Hebrew, Sephardic, as an ah. The Ashkenazi, the Eastern European Gomorite Yehudi, they pronounce as an aw, aw, amen, aw. The accent in both cases is on the second syllable, amen, amen. When a person says the word amen, he or she indicates their endorsement of the debarim, the kalos, the word sound, that he has just heard, and affirms his or her admittance in the truth, the emet, the ilnet of what has been said. He acknowledges his identification with the prayer or the bracha, the blessing, as though he himself had said it, where amen follows a petitionary bracha or a prayer of supplication. It also carries the meaning of so may it be, so let it be. So if a petitionary, when you're petitioning, begging, beseeching, asking, or if it's a prayer of supplication, you're supplicating or interceding, the amen in that sense would be like so be it. Now it's interesting because in the Amharic we have another term, yehun. Yehun, as in name Yekuno Amlak, but Yehun means let it be, Yehun. So that brings up that sense of amen. I admit it's true, true and faithful, so be it, may it be so, may it be so. Looking at the time right here, going to pick up on this a little bit more. There's some interesting traditional rules and applications to the amen, and many of them we find applicable for I and I. But here, brothers and sisters and brothers, looking at the time that we have right here on the board, really don't want to get into anything too much, too enough more right here. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, and riding forward to the T to T, just testifying right here and riding forward. Let's share this right here. That we already played the Amen tune, didn't we? Didn't we do it? Yes, we did do it. Yes, I. Well, right here, testify Tuesday more on the Amen. Yes, I. Yay and amen. 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 Amen.